are good. So I don't know.
Testing. Test. So I've been following a lady on Instagram called Metaphysical Mama.
Okay.
And she's all about, you know, planetary stuff.
Okay.
And she said today might be kind of rough for anybody with an unhealed mother wound. So
really?
Just be aware.
Really?
So much of her stuff, I never wanted to get into that or...
Yeah.
It just seems hokey and corny to me, but the more I live and the more I then, it's when I find things and I reflect back on, I'll hear about something and then I'm like, holy shit, that's exactly what was happening with me that day. There's some real accuracy.
Interesting.
To it. So,
wow. Okay.
Yeah. So just so you know.
Just so you know. And is the mother wound, is that... A wound caused by your mother? Is that
yes.
mother wound?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Welcome to Hilarious, where we're not just talking about trauma, we're laughing in its face.
This is our way of contributing to the world, sharing our experience, strength, and hope around complex trauma.
And that's your host, Amy Redbird.
And that's Teresa Benson, ready to crack a few jokes while we all hold hands in the dark.
Okay, so now that I've done battle with our audio system, and it is still not working like I want it to, let's talk about starting new things.
Let's talk about it. You know what? Watching you do that made me feel like I used to do... Remember Tybo?
Tybo, Billy yes. Blanks.
I loved it. I was in great shape. It might have been because I was in my 20s. I was just
No. I'm here to tell you that just because you're in your 20s does not mean you're in great shape. Okay. I was overweight in my 20s, just like I'm overweight now. So it was probably because you were actually doing the work. I don't know. But
bring back the Tybo. I had a roommate that would sit and watch me do it. And she'd be like, wow, that looks really hard, Amy.
As she's like eating chips and macaroni and cheese and whatever.
Tofu.
Oh, okay.
She's probably eating tofu. But that's what I felt like just now watching you battle the audio.
Really?
Thanks for doing that.
You're welcome.
You dominated.
I attempted to. I have hopefully at least shaped it to our will so that we can produce a good episode, even if I can't later chop out both of our voices whenever I need to.
Mm-mm. That audio tapped out like a bitch. You did good.
Thank you. It's probably all part of some universal message. Because today we were going to record about new beginnings. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I had written down was around embracing imperfection, that when you're doing something new, you're not going to do it perfectly. And I know we've already talked about showing up and sucking and that a B minus is still passing.
Right. And I think I may have mentioned this in another episode, but while we're talking about imperfection and the paralysis that it can really cause, I'm someone that has really experienced that. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And when you have an inner critic from complex trauma, I think it just gets maybe a little louder than the average person or somebody that's had a lot of encouragement in their life. And I've just kind of had to figure that out on my own.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people. But it brings me back to my favorite artist is Chuck Close. Oh, are you familiar with Chuck Close?
I am so familiar with Chuck Close. And one of my favorite quilters, actually there's a couple quilters, have done work based on his work. Like it is incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So for anyone who isn't familiar with Chuck Close, get with it already. We'll put some stuff in our show notes and on the website. He painted with his freaking teeth.
And
his work looks like when I went to the MCA and I saw the exhibit, the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago.
Okay.
One of my favorite museums of all time.
Uh-huh.
And you, I mean, they're huge. They're absolutely huge. I'm not great at knowing dimensions, but when you would walk in from afar, it looks like a gigantic photograph.
Right.
And when you get up close, everything is painted in a graph.
Right.
And each little square is a circle with different nuances of color. I mean, so incredibly detailed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why this comes up for me about perfectionism is I read an interview with Chuck Close.
Oh.
And he said, I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
He said he knew many people that were far more paralyzed than himself. And the paralysis was this inability to move forward in life. And I took away from it that it is the paralysis of perfectionism and therefore never beginning.
Yeah.
Never seeking out your dreams.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's called analysis paralysis.
Yeah, it is. It is rough. You know, it's so funny. In business, I see that a lot. You know, when I'm talking with CEOs or product leaders or even lower level, like product managers and sales leaders about launching new products, moving into a new direction, maybe considering a merger acquisition. The bean counters can really start to dig in on the data and spin people's heads around to the point where they're afraid to make a call. And, you know, on one hand, shareholder value is very important. I own stock. My 401k is in the stock market. Shareholder value is very important. But I think in business, so many people have gotten afraid of making big, bold decisions because they could be, quote, punished by the market. And I never really applied it to my own life. But you're exactly right. Analysis paralysis 100% exists in our personal lives. And man, I guess.
I feel like it exists for me personally. It exists there more than anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's been very difficult to take steps toward dreams because I get this real, like, who the hell do I think I am?
Right.
And I think, you know, living in the Midwest and I live in a small town now, there really is, we call it a work ethic.
Yeah.
Which I do respect.
Yeah.
But there is a real thought process of not just who do you think you are, but you work really hard until you die, and that's what we respect around these parts.
Well, it's so interesting because I have a thing that I haven't yet hung up in my new office that says work hard, stay humble. Mm. You know, there is something about not celebrating your success, not celebrating new things, not celebrating an attempt, let alone success or failure, just the attempt, right? That is fascinating. Mm-hmm. You're so right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like, okay, yeah, you can be ambitious as long as you're quiet and don't bother anybody else.
Right. And get your work done.
Yeah.
And don't try to outshine everybody around you. Come on. Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
It's kind of the mentality that I feel.
Yeah.
Where I currently live. And I have a lot of respect for people who work hard.
Yeah.
I've done it my whole life.
Yeah.
But I'm at a point right now where I'm ready to follow my heart. And I feel like if I get in the current of my heart, there's a lot, it's a lot more about balance.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot. And the hand motion that you were doing, like that flow, you know, it's interesting because if you could imagine a leaf or a twig falling into a creek and going with the flow, right? That twig or leaf can go so much farther by going with the flow than trying to swim against it, you know? And so where do you want to put your time, effort, and energy?
Well, ask the salmon who like to spawn and go against the current. I feel like that's what we do.
Yeah, that is what we do.
Because we get afraid to try something new or go with the current. And there's a really interesting take on freedom that mm-hmm. I heard recently.
Okay.
I heard Jordan Peterson of all people speaking, and he was talking about freedom and okay. how freedom is actually really scary. Yeah. And it's really easy to freeze when you are presented with the idea of any choice of the infinite amount of variables that exist in this world.
100%. I've never in 100 years have I thought that the phrase a kid in a candy store was an exciting prospect. Mm. It terrified me because what if I picked the wrong candy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. But you're right. So freedom is actually terrifying.
It is. It's terrifying without some sort of boundary mm-hmm. from someone somewhere, which is why we all crave leadership.
Oh.
And we crave just as human beings mm-hmm. and not necessarily even a culture or a society, but the idea of government kind of comes from this need to be led.
Sort out of guardrails on or whatever.
That's a perfect example.
It's the bumpers in the gutter of the bowling alley of life. We need those little bumpers in there in order to make sure we're headed in the right direction.
Right. We're not going to say how many pins you can knock down or not.
Right, yeah.
Go for them all if you want to, unless you live in a small town. Then be humble. Just get one or two. Don't be a dick. Quit showing off. So is there something new other than this podcast with me that you've embarked on recently? Like, when's the last time you started something new?
Oh, my gosh. Everything? I've started a YouTube channel to mm-hmm. talk about artificial intelligence and quilting.
You showed me a little bit of that when we were at dinner the other night.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of new, that new Indian place we went to.
Oh, my God. That Indian place.
That place is amazing. Can we say the name?
It was incredible. Yeah.
It's Flambe India.
Flambe India in Libertyville, Illinois. If you are anywhere in the Chicagoland area, it is fully worth a drive. They take reservations. They're rather small, so we recommend reservations mm-hmm. for sure.
Reservations. And
it was incredible.
I love Indian food. It's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's my absolute favorite. And I've eaten it many multiple times in many mm-hmm. multiple cities. My favorite Indian food, I've never been to India, but my favorite Indian food was in London.
Mm-hmm.
And this even trumped that.
Wow.
Ugh,
wow.
So check it out.
No, it was fantastic.
But you were showing me some of your...
Yeah, YouTube stuff.
I was so impressed. Can you just rule my life?
No, because I could barely hang on to mine.
Damn.
Yeah, but working on that. We're embarking on a series around color and color theory. And, I have wanted to educate all of my life. Like, when we were in fourth grade, fellow classmates would say, like, predict who you were going to be someday. Like, the class behind you did it for your class. And everybody said, Teresa's going to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And, by the time I got to where I was selecting universities and selecting major, it was like, well, you can go anywhere you want as long as it's Iowa State. And you can major in anything you want as long as it's electrical engineering.
Aww.
So, yeah. So, like you mentioned about wanting to follow your heart and do more in that arena, I've certainly tried throughout my career to transform the way I did things into as much of a teachable, coachable thing. Mm-hmm. Like, even when I was a salesperson, it wasn't about pitching. It was about learning what was needed from the customer and then teaching them how my product solved it.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was through this teacher reframe. But now I'm getting the opportunity to teach. And so I'm teaching here at the library. Two nights this coming week. I've got the YouTube channel. It's nerve-wracking and fun. I'm going to release 4 quilt patterns this year. Never done that before in my life. Don't have a clue what I'm doing. I'll figure it out.
You're jumping into that freedom.
Yeah.
That flow of freedom. You're the leaf.
I am.
The leaf in the stream. I'm so proud of you. Your work is beautiful and amazing. And you're embarking on your own business venture on top of all of that. So I feel like we're both in this season right now of so much change.
Yeah.
And I really welcome it. And I'm really a little, You like how I just negated?
I'm really a little. Yeah.
I'm really overwhelmed right now.
Yeah.
So, order of operations is,
is
big every day. I have to kind of just look at like, here's the steps because we're doing this podcast.
Right.
I am currently looking at a home in New Mexico to, I'm ready for a little more passive income.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have fallen in love with the state of New Mexico.
Oh yeah. It's incredible.
So I have a business partner. We're looking at an Airbnb property there. What the hell else am I doing? I'm rebranding my business.
Yeah, you are.
I'm in a new relationship.
Yeah.
I'm every day I'm learning about pandas, pandas, which is my child's diagnosis, and trying new things and learning new coping skills and mechanisms every day.
Wow.
So, yeah, my brain's a little cooked.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure I would have it any other way.
The idea of doing all of this stuff does come with a little bit of fear.
Yes.
A little bit of, a lot of discomfort sometimes.
Yes.
You know, it's like taking a cast off of an arm. I was, you know, I dislocated a shoulder once, so I was in.
Okay, Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon. What?
Yes, I'm. Yeah,
really.
That's me, and I even have the mullet. You guys should see me. I dislocated a shoulder. I did a header on my bike out in the trails one time, and dislocated my shoulder. And your arm gets strapped to your body for a month. And then when you take it off, your arm's like totally weak and it feels really vulnerable because it is an injury that you can repeat pretty easily. So I feel like that sometimes. I feel like this, I've taken off my body cast and I'm moving forward after a lifetime of some paralysis coming with the territory of trauma.
Well, and shelter almost like the cast that you put up was like a shelter that you sort of put around yourself.
Right.
And, you know, shelters are good to a point, and then sometimes you got to move on to the next one.
It can
build
be
a bigger one.
Yeah, it can be the cage and it can be the key.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally utilized it as the key. And so I'm in this place where I'm somewhat uncomfortable, but the thought of staying still and staying in the same position, staying in the same place that I'm at, work and leisure and everything else is so much more terrifying. I think it seems like a universal shift almost because you're in a season of massive change.
Massive change.
One of my other best friends is in a season of absolutely massive change. And we've both been experiencing it in a way that if we continue to do life how we had been doing it, that's going to be far more uncomfortable and frightening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really weird. As afraid as I was to start, it is immensely fulfilling to be able to do what we're doing now. You know, I am working harder than I ever have in my life. You know, I'm always having colleagues and, some of my assistants that I work with, like, how are you able to do so much? And I'm like, I don't think I'm getting anything done, but thank you. You know, like, and I'm sure there's, you know, suppliers and vendors and stuff that I've worked with who are like, hey lady, I'm still waiting for an email back on X, you know? And I'm just so hard on myself about it all, but I tell you what, I don't think I could do it any other way. It is really a neat experience.
Right. It's like stepping into the current of your own life and,
yes.
and your own heart
yes.
and your own dreams. And there's such an authenticity
yes.
that further casts off mm-hmm. said cage,
yeah.
said key, you know, or said cast, whatever
yeah, like
I said
maybe
earlier.
Once you start hitting a certain velocity in that flow, like the excess bits just come flying off, you know?
Like a fuselage.
Like just, an Alaska Airlines flight. Oh, do you remember that, the door?
No,
oh,
I don't.
Yeah, a door popped off of an Alaska Airlines flight, 12,000 feet.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Like a side door popped off.
And I avoid the news because
oh, yeah.
I don't need to know the variables that could meet me.
No, you don't.
Every day that I walk out the door
no.
of my safe little home.
Yeah, you really do not want to hear some of that stuff.
Well, I'll be looking it up later. Speaking of new things, are those new glasses?
Ish. So these are my old lady computer glasses.
Mm, yeah. Super cute.
Aren't they great?
I love them.
Yeah. Zenni. Z-E-N-N-I. Zenni.
Yay.
Like 30-some bucks.
Yeah, mine were
prescription.
30. Mine were like $33. I
yeah.
get so many compliments.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say something when we recorded our last episode, when you were sitting with the glow behind you and you had those glasses on. Yeah. Where did you get yours?
I think mine were Zenni too.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. I just love Zenni. Yeah.
I like cheap, affordable things that look good.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, you know, when we think about new things and our new flow and our new whatever, I think we both mentioned that it gets overwhelming. I'm really curious to know, how do you balance that, like embracing everything new and still all the shit that has to get done and not sort of rubber banding back to what was? Like what are some of your go-to techniques?
That's a great question. Yeah, I really want to avoid retreating into the safety of what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things I've had to really embrace is asking for help. So I have, remember we were kind of reflecting on this with Bethany Hall when she
yeah.
was on, and I have to have someone come and clean my house every
right.
other week.
Right.
Which I struggled with. I feel like, again, that's part of that work ethic that's just ingrained in me, like pounded in my head.
Right.
Like, who do you think you are?
Right.
Well, I think I'm someone that's busy and I'm embarking on my dreams. Thank you very much. So, and I'm employing someone that could use employment. So
yeah.
I have someone come and clean my house
mm-hmm.
once every other week.
Mm-hmm.
I have hired a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
That's a glorified word for babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
And taking some of that pressure to do absolutely everything and all
right.
of that grunt work
right.
off of myself
mm-hmm.
and delegating it has been immensely helpful because it creates a little bit of space
good.
For me. And then meditation, which I haven't done in several days, and I can really feel it.
Yeah.
So I need to meditate. I need to ground myself every day.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make sure I'm drinking enough water.
Oh my God, I am the worst at it.
Oh my God, I will for sure get a migraine
ugh.
If I don't drink enough water. And I have to make sure I'm resting.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of times where my body's just like, nope, we're crashing now and I don't have a choice. I need to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's finding balance. I walk. I need to move my body a lot. I walk.
Mm-hmm.
I do some martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
I do some yoga. I do some Pilates. So physical movement is super important for me, or I will totally stagnate mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Really?
So that's my formula. And I have to socialize. I have to laugh.
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I go into the abyss.
Yeah. Yeah, I meditation is definitely something that I'm trying to do a lot more of. It's it's one of those things that while you're doing it, I mean, thank God for the different meditation apps and the people who record, you know, like the guided meditations, because they've been where you as a beginner are, and they'll be like, yeah, I know that you're thinking about X, Y, and Z. It's okay. Just return to the breath, or just note that as thinking and then come back. And I think if there weren't things like that, I would be so down on myself, like, God, you can't even meditate right.
Right. Right. There's so many different types. Like, I went to the Shambhala Institute in Chicago when I was first trying to meditate. And that's really about Buddhist meditation and clearing the mind and not having any thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it actually proved to be, it wasn't that difficult for me because I'm somebody that spent a lot of years dissociating and not even knowing what dissociating was. So I had no problem achieving, you know, it seemed like enlightenment, but it wasn't. It was total dissociation and it would be really uncomfortable. So namaste.
But fuck you,
brain. So I had to learn walking meditation and guided meditation. That's really what works for me.
Oh, wow.
Or I will kind of slip out of myself and it could take, I've spent years in that state. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And as far as moving my body, I know that quote unquote, but you know, like when you know the things that you need to do, but somehow rebel against them. You know, I know that I should be drinking more water.
Vive la resistance.
Vive la resistance. Yeah, my t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my electrical engineering humor is coming out
today. Will you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, so I'm wearing a t-shirt that says, Viva la. And then for the electrical engineers in the audience, it's the calculation for resistance, which is resistance equals voltage divided by current. And so if you're an engineer or a scientist who knows anything about electricity, you're going to see this and laugh. Everybody else is going to look at it and kind of cock their head like one of those confused puppies and either politely ask or just a twitch of judgment, like, what's that weirdo wearing?
Well, it is across your boobs. People are probably just checking out your your voluptuous knockers.
My voluptuous knockers. My bodacious tatas. Yeah. I actually, oh my God, that reminds me. So I have a cousin. She lives in Florida now. We kind of fell out of touch after my mom died. But she had a son, Tim, and another son, Ben, and I used to watch them in the summers sometimes. Like, I would go stay at their house, and little Timmy couldn't say Teresa, so he called me Tata.
Oh, that's so perfect for you.
Given the size and scope of the... Well, it's better than Twinkle Tits, which is what some of my bullies used to call me.
Twinkle Tits.
Twinkle Tits, Teresa. And
well, why were you wearing flashing lights on your breasticles?
I wasn't wearing flashing lights on my breasticles. Uh-huh. I would just put out headlights and streetlights and whatever with the walking.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
a little but. Jelly-o's.
But yeah, so my nickname was Tata, and I had no idea about An Officer and a Gentleman and the phrase bodacious tatas and all of that stuff until later in life. And so I just thought it was the sweetest name ever. And if I would tell certain friends, they'd just snicker and snicker, and I couldn't understand. And yeah, it does all fit, though.
It does fit.
Yeah.
And going back to your t-shirt.
Yeah.
It's funny because I feel like, you know, we're talking about resisting a current.
Oh, my God.
And that's what's
resisting
on your shirt. And it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, it really might be just part of life itself.
Yeah.
Current and resistance and voltage and movement and freedom and safety.
Oh, that's
and
wild.
This might just really be the formulae in nature.
Yeah.
And being human is all just part of that.
My goodness.
I don't know what piece of it we would equate to being, but I find that pretty magical.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. So it might just be our very nature to resist a current and then have to discover that going with it is more, it might not be more comfortable at first.
Right.
But.
Right. Right.
We're better for it.
Yeah. There's a book that I read from forever ago called Illusions by Richard Bach, who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull from back in the 70s. And the book is slightly cheesy, but it opens with these creatures, and this one creature decides to let go of the rock it's been clinging to, and it starts to float downstream. And the creatures on rocks that are farther downstream are like, "What are you?" Ah! And this creature is trying to tell the other ones to just let go, and you know, and they can't conceive of it. They can't. You know, and you're going to get tossed around by the current and the rocks, and you're going to, you know, and I'm doing a horrible job paraphrasing, but it, you know, and the truth is that, yeah, you kind of get tossed around a little bit, but you come out on the other side.
You come out on the other side and you have an amazing adventure called living your life and participating in your life. And I'll take a few bruises and dislocated shoulders and broken bones over being still and not moving.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's where the depression lies. That's where anxiety really starts to kick in. And I think you did a great job paraphrasing, actually. And it kind of reminded me of our talk with Deborah Wallace about parts and internal family systems.
Yes.
And it kind of goes back to what I was saying, too, about, you know, living in a small town and work ethic sometimes being mistaken for, or vice versa, being paralyzed, being mistaken for just having a good work ethic and being stuck.
Right.
You know, we can sometimes take being stuck and glorify it by being like, no, I'm
committed.
I'm committed.
Martyrdom.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a martyrdom. Mm-hmm. I am stuck in this, you know, being a cog in this machine. Mm. And I remember the first couple times I left companies, I thought for sure I was irreplaceable. Mm. And the thing is, no, you're just a cog in a machine. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just, you are a part that can be replaced in a situation like that. And to sit there and be a martyr about it and be like, no, they need me. Oh, no. You know, when in fact, yeah, I mean, you brought value and you did this and you did that. But at the end of the day, there's somebody else.
Right.
There's somebody else.
And there's some relief in that.
Yeah.
Like, as long as we can get our egos out of the way a little bit.
Exactly.
There's some relief in that. And it's funny that you're saying that, because at the top of this episode, right before you hit record, I was just saying I'm relieved that there's somebody new starting at the salon, because I'm about to leave and go rebrand at a new place. And I was feeling some guilt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to complete what I need to do for myself, but I was feeling some guilt and some heaviness. So I will be replaced. Life will go on. It will be okay.
Yep.
And that, while that can hurt your feelings, depending on where you're at in your life and in your journey of growth, it can also be extremely freeing.
It really can. And especially, I remember a therapist told me a long time ago, like, look, everybody around you, they're adults. And so if you doing X upsets them in some way, that is for them to let you know. And at that point, you can make a different decision. But sitting here paralyzed, not wanting to do for fear that you might upset someone, or for fear that you might do blah, 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 but you don't know for sure. The analysis paralysis, right? Like, oh, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. Oh, they're going to be mad at me. Oh, I'm going to ruin their business. Oh, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. A person can only, like, express to you how it will affect them once you've made the decision and communicated your decision.
Right. Right. And I'm not in the business of mind reading, but I tried for years, because tracking like that, what you were just describing, is such a trauma response.
Yes.
Especially complex trauma that, you know, relational trauma from the mother in particular. And of course, fathers too. But that's where that kind of tracking generally comes into play.
Yeah.
And where you're trying to figure out everybody's...
every angle, everything before you do what, you know.
Right. Because you don't want to get your ass beat or...
exactly.
Thrown down the stairs or whatever else.
Exactly. Knocked into a wall or whatever. It's so hard, and I think I mentioned this on that episode, it's so hard to let some of that go because that was what made me a great salesperson. Mm-hmm. I could walk into just about any room and like all the micro body language, all of the everything told me so much that others in the exact same conversation would never see or hear. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard. And the thing is, you don't, by like rewiring your brain, you don't lose that skill. You redirect it in a way.
You give that part another job.
Exactly.
Because when we give our wounds a purpose, it's very difficult to move ahead and it's very difficult to heal them.
Yes.
And it gets really easy to then be caught back up in what we were just talking, martyrdom.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know about you, but as I've, this happened more when I was young. And I also really got a new group of friends. Mm-hmm. I've really, there were a couple people that I knew for a long time that were not supportive when I embark on things like this and my creativity. And I feel like I was always kind of bullied and picked on as a younger kid for it. And then I still had a couple people in my life as adults who would, were not encouraging. Not that I need someone to coddle me or hold my hand, but in a subtle way, we're tearing it down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
discouraging.
Yeah.
And some of them were really like outward with it. Uh-huh. It wasn't even subtle. So it's been difficult for me when I hear that kind of discouragement. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is it reflects kind of that committee in my head. Mm-hmm. And this is where doing that IFS work, that internal family systems, has been so freeing and helpful.
Because
and it's helped me not, you know, I don't really have like people in my life like that anymore. Uh-huh. But it's really helped me disconnect from other people's opinions.
Yeah. I'm firmly convinced, and I know we have to go here in a second, but I'm firmly convinced that the only difference between us and like Nobel Prize winners, celebrities, whatever, is that committee is somehow quieter or shut down or doesn't exist in other people. Like, you know, they've learned how to manage it and be able to take in, you know, negative input and transform it in a way into fuel. Whereas somewhere along the line with us, with our complex trauma, we had to learn how to do that as adults, you know? Yeah,
that's so interesting. I always just assumed they had an even worse inner critic and it made, like, maybe they don't sleep at night. But that's a really interesting take.
Yeah.
They probably are just a little more integrated.
Yeah, I wonder.
Able to, you know, and again, reflecting back on what Bethany Hall said about, you know, you have to take critique. And that was something I was just, I have these inner parts that are, I'm learning to forgive myself for it now, but that were so fragile and so broken. And I've been able to kind of disconnect them from my ego.
Yeah.
And be like, it's okay. Like, this is just life. Life is full of all kinds of painful shit.
Yeah.
It's people who haven't encountered a lot of shit I have a hard time relating to them.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, detaching those really hurt, fragile parts that really couldn't take another, like a critique would feel like another blow, another fall down the stairs, another slap in the face. Now I've learned how to protect those myself and just I can just hear that stuff now and be, and now I value it, like taking voice lessons and having my voice teacher, yes, giving me that feedback is, it's powerful.
Yeah. Even like editing our first episode. I tell you what, there would have been a point even as recent as 2 or 3 years ago where I don't think I could be like, okay, here's my first attempt. Let me know. And then be able to go, okay, you want to do this and this and this and this and this and this? Cool. Mm-hmm. Instead, it would have been like, hide, 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 hide. Mm-hmm. Last minute, share it with you. If you gave me feedback, I'd be like, oh, sorry, we had a deadline and I've already published it. Instead of saying, okay, let me know what you think. And then, you know, I mean, that's what... Here's the thing. In quilting, we talk about, you know, a seam ripper exists because there were many women before you that had to rip threads out, right? Mm. The reason audio editing tools exist, because people have to chop shit up and rearrange it all the time anyway. So who am I to think that, like, I'm going to get it perfect?
Right. Right? Exactly. Like, why? Where does this even...
Where does it come from? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm trying to do away with it the best I can. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I want to say fuck off to that part, but then part of me is like,
oh, that poor thing.
That part needs love too.
Yeah, that part needs love too.
It's like trying to hug a porcupine.
It is. Oh. They are soft one way.
I guess.
They are. They are.
Are they?
Yeah. Like okay. If you go this direction.
That is true.
They're soft one way.
Just don't go against the grain.
I mean, don't. Exactly.
Quit fighting the current.
I mean, porcupines have figured out how to make babies, so it can't be all that painful in some direction.
That's a good point. I mean, there have to be people out there who both have sets of braces that make out and figure that shit out too, right? Did you have braces? Like your teeth are perfect.
They're not perfect, but thank you. I did have braces.
They're very straight.
Thank you. Yes, they are. Now I'm going to hide them.
Okay. Yeah, okay. She's hiding behind her mic now.
I am hiding behind my mic now.
No, and you look better with teeth.
And with that, thank you so much again for your time, Amy. It's so good to chat with you about these things and talk a little bit about the pressure around new beginnings.
Thank you, Teresa. You're so vulnerably open. And I love that about you. You're so emotionally honest.
Thanks.
These are things I absolutely love about other humans.
Thank you.
And I congratulate you for stepping into your authenticity and operating from self.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a really scary place. But it's nice to have you here with me doing it.
I'm right here with you, girl.
All right.
I love you.
I love you too.
And that's a wrap on today's hilarious adventure. We're beyond grateful to share our lives and laughs with you, but please remember, we are not healthcare professionals. Love what you heard? Show us some love back by subscribing, rating, and dropping a review. It really helps. And for those who just can't get enough, our Instagram at HilariousPod is the place for all things fun and hilarious. Big thanks for joining our community. Keep finding joy in the journey. Until we meet again.